If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.' Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also, with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 3rd and 20th day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in their heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, His people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, 'I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto prayer that is made in this place.'" I want to preach this morning for a little while, if God will be my help, on this thought: when glory comes down and there's revival all around. Amen? When glory comes down and there's revival all around. Now we see this thing in the Word of God. We realize in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles that Solomon prays a prayer of dedication, and he dedicates the house of God, and he prays unto the Lord, and he gives that prayer of dedication, asking God, laying it out there what he has done, and he had done it for God's glory, and asked God to take it and to bless it and to use it for His glory. I said this morning when we had opening prayer before Sunday school, and everything we do and everything we ask, we are to ask that it be God's will and for His glory. Amen? And when we begin to do that, God will begin to hear and answer the prayers of His people. We begin to see here in the Word of God how Solomon prayed this great priestly prayer, a kingly prayer, if you would. And God, how He laid out, He got on His knees before God, lifted up His hands to the Lord as if He's even as being king, praise God. He said, "I'm nothing, but You're everything." And he held out his hands to God, and God might fill his hands, that God might be the kind of God to him as He is to you and I, that He might bless us and help us and keep us in all that we endeavor to do. Amen? So we see Solomon here in chapter 7 as he begins to lay out the evidence for revival at this house of God, this synagogue, this place of God, amen, this temple, praise God, that he had built for God. And he begins to see the evidence we see in verses 2 and 3 that there was some brazen and shouting going on, amen, that the people come together and they lifted it, they got gathered down on the pavement, and they begin to lift up their voices in praise unto God. And that verses 4 and 5, we see sacrifices made. Amen. There's got to be sacrifices made if we're ever going to see the will of God. Amen. We have to sacrifice some of these things that so easily beset us that we might be where we need to be for the glory of God. And in verse 6, we see singing going on. I praise God. Every time you have a revival, I believe there's going to be some good singing. I believe people will start singing from their heart and not in their head. Amen. I believe when people sing from their heart, God gets glory. Amen. We ought to sing for His glory, not for ours. Amen. I don't want nobody to see me. I said a while back, if I could, I'd just stand back there in the background, just preach over the intercom, just let you hear me and wouldn't have to see me. Probably some of you said, boy, that would be great. Amen. Wouldn't have to look at you. We'd just hear you. But you know what you'd do? You'd say, oh, so I'd get that on the radio and you'd never come back. Amen. But I believe when God gets moving, when the Holy Spirit gets moving, when we have a spirit revival or so, I believe there'll be a new song, a glorious song in our heart. That's the evidence of revival. Verse 7 and 8, he speaks of serving the Lord. Solomon began to lay out the things, began to do the things to bring glory to God's name. Amen. He began to lay those foundations of worship and praising God in serving the Lord. You know, that's what we do. We come to the house of God. We come here to worship Him. This is a place of worship where we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we go into the highways and hedges in the world to work for the Lord. Amen. We might see souls saved in the world and we live. So we see the singing, we see the serving. But last of all, we see in verses 9 through 11, we see the satisfaction in it all. I will say, when we get through a spirit of revival, when glory comes down and there's revival all around, praise God, we'll all begin to see the essence of this. This will become part of who we are. Amen. When revival stirs in your heart and it stirs in my heart, God takes us and uses, praise God, that His glory can be seen, that we can lift up His name, amen, even in the darkness and we live. There's a lot of adversaries in the world. There's a lot of adverse things in our lives. But I'm glad that there's a God of heaven, amen, who looks down and He knows all about that. And what we do, praise God, is we just begin to praise Him through those things. Amen. So when things don't go right, praise God, just say glory to God. And brother Ralph was talking about his daddy one time. Ralph Sexton talking about his daddy, Ralph Senior. He said, praise God, one day he was hooking up his boat and said he got his thumb between the boat and boat hit and said he just mashed a far out of his thumb. And Ralph said, I thought I was going to get some of my daddy cut a shine. But said, you know what he did? He grabbed it and he hopped around there for a little while. He said he looked up to heaven and said, thank you, Lord, for that thumb that you just allowed me to mash. Amen. Praise God, he said, I thought maybe I'd get to see my daddy say a word or two, but he never said nothing out of place. Praise God. He just said, thank you, Lord. Amen. For that I have, that's a gift from you. Amen. If we just get in our hearts and minds just to praise the Lord for all that He gives us. Amen. Everything, every good thing comes down from the Father of light, comes down to me, to you and I, that we might take it and praise the name of God. Amen. Lift up the precious name of Jesus. So we see these things as evidence of revival. What takes place in, you say, preacher, do we need revival? We need revival. You say, well, preacher, I don't think we need revival. We had one back in the spring. We went to camp meeting a week before last all week. I just don't think we need revival. Well, I want to say, praise God, if that's the way you feel, you need it more than I do. Amen. Amen. I want a spirit of revival in my soul. I want these things to be a part. I want to have a shout and not a pout. Amen. I want to be a sacrifice to my God. Amen. I want to be singing His praises when we get in the choir. I don't want to just come in the choir to be in the choir, praise God. I want to come to the choir to lift up the name of my Savior. Amen. You got to ask the question, why do we do what we do? Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just like to get in, be part of it. Praise God. I want the Lord to just bless in my heart. Amen. I want to be a blessing because I'm lifting up the name of my Savior for His goodness and His glory. Amen. I want to be serving Him in the walk of life I live. And I want to be, because I'm looking to that glorious day, I'm going to be satisfied in my Lord. Amen. I'm satisfied with Him now. But I'm one day, praise God, I'm going to be satisfied with Him. Amen. One day in a little while. But we see this as He lays it down, that when the glory comes down and that the revival was spread all around. And we can see this, and I want to just give this to you this morning, God will be my help, and just five words out of verse 1. Five words that we see in verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. So what we see here, number one, we see Solomon. Amen. Hey, we see Solomon, the person of revival. You realize if we're going to have revival, if you're going to have revival in your heart, it's a personal thing. Amen. If you come to church looking for a revival, looking for a spirit of revival, God will revive your soul. He'll speak down the innermost part of your being. See, a lot of times I don't think the word gets from our head to our heart. The word of God has to go from our head into our heart. That's how we're saved, by the way. The God of heaven takes His word, He puts it in your head. The Holy Ghost of God massages that down into your heart, and you realize you're just no sinner in need of a Savior, and you get born again. Amen. I told that to my little girl. I was preaching here one time. Mia went home, told Mama, said, Mama said, I don't want to be born again. She says, I don't want to go back in your belly. I don't want to do that. She realized she is already here, praise God. She had a good start. She didn't want to start all over. Amen. But that born again means be born from above. Amen. So that we could give God the glory and the praise for all that He's doing. So we need a person of revival. Amen. What did Solomon do? Number one, he completed the sanctuary. He got the place of worship ready for those that would come to worship the Lord. Amen. He got it ready. He prayed. He was seeking God's face on that place would be a special place. I think God, Brother Chris, this is a special place. Amen. It's a special place. I told Brother Jeff, he was working up here the other week. I said, man, it just blesses my heart to have do something at the house of God. Why? Because it's a special place in this community. God's given us a special place, a special opportunity right here. Amen. Brother Blake, when you mow the yard up here, brother, don't count it as a burden or a drudgery, but count it as a blessing to get to do something at the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it, don't you? Amen. But what a privilege, what an honor we have. But we see the person of the sanctuary, a person of revival, praise God, in Solomon. He completed the sanctuary. He got it ready for the worship of God. And then he began to call the congregation. Amen. He began to call the congregation of the saints, praise God. He began to call those people together to come and worship in the place that he had established. Amen. Well, he didn't establish it, God did. But he asked of God and God gave it. That's why they such a spirit right here, because some saints of God over the years, amen, have prayed over this place. They prayed over this property. They prayed over this building. They prayed over the touch of God. They prayed for the sweet spirit of God to abide in His presence, be abiding in here. And pray, God, when you pull up in the parking lot, you can feel the Lord. Amen. He gathered again. Not only did he complete the sanctuary, but he congregated the saints. He gathered them together. That's what a congregation is. It's a gathering together of those that's in the same mindset to come and worship the Lord. I mean, when the glory comes down and there's a revival all around, it's when all of God's people come together in one mind and one court to recognize and realize the presence of God. Amen. So we see Solomon as he was a person of revival. Amen. We see how he congregated, built the place, and then we see how he consecrated the service. Amen. He offered up those things. He set up those things that would be in place so that the people could come in so that they could worship and they could see the glory of God. Amen. When we begin to come together, we begin to set things up. Amen. Set things aright so that God can get glory in His house. Amen. We begin to see the most awesome thing that the world has ever known. A lot of the world don't even know about is when God just comes in and His presence is real. Amen. I thank God when His presence is real, don't you? I would say He's real right here this morning. Amen. There's a sweet Spirit of God floating all around this place. Amen. There's a presence of God, and He consecrated the servant. He brought things in and got them ready. You know the biggest thing that we need to get ready to worship God is you and I. Yep. We come together, we consecrate ourselves to the Lord on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Say, Lord, help me just to go to Your house, put away all the thinking, all the thoughts, all the things of the world, and I come together to worship You. Amen. Amen. You get to doing that, praise God. God will bless your heart. You'll come in, you'll get your nickel's worth. Amen. You go out here shouting and praising and giving God's glory for all He's doing for you. You'll realize, pray God, God give you another opportunity to come to His house where you can receive help so you can go out and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. So we see Solomon, the person of revival, completed the sanctuary, congregated the saints, consecrated the service, got things ready, amen. Praise God to come and worship. A lot of times we come up and we do things at the church during the week. But the most important thing that we can do is come and bow at an old-fashioned altar and say, oh, God, thank you for this place. I pray that you'd hallow this place. I pray that you'd occupy this place. I pray that you'd give us the power, amen, from on high. Thank God, I'm glad we have a power. I mean, we sung about that a while ago. I'm glad that God's people have a power, and it's not of this world. I pray God, but it's out of this universe, and it's God Almighty, amen, who speaks to our heart and gives us all that we need. I believe Solomon recognized that when he prayed to God. Amen. He was that person of revival. Amen. And then we have the number two, we have the prerequisite for revival. What has to happen first is prayer. Amen. He began to pray and he began to see. When he had ended his praying, amen. He had talked to God. He had anguished with God. He had brought his prayers and supplications to the Lord. Amen. The prerequisite to having revival in your heart is to get along somewhere with God and ask Him to help you and show you and enlighten you and revive you and stir in your heart. I believe so many times we go to places, we'll even go to camp meetings and revive, and we're looking for a man to get up there and stir our heart. Amen. If you get up there looking for a man to stir your heart, if you come this morning looking for me to stir your heart, you're going to go out of here just as disappointed as you can be. But if you come seeking the God, a God of heaven and the God of His Word, praise God, and looking and desiring to see Him this morning, He'll show up for you. Amen. When the glory comes down, revival will be spread around in your heart. When we begin to see the power of God, it begins to be a prerequisite. We begin to pray and seek His face. Amen. He says that the prayer is that prerequisite. It's a channel of penance. Amen. A place of repentance, a place where we can come to and lift up our voices and realize who we are and what we do and who God is and what He does. Amen. We're just all old sinners saved by grace. You saved this morning. You're a sinner saved by grace. I've said before many, many times, this flesh ain't saved. This flesh is apt to do anything. Amen. It's apt to go out of the way. It's apt to, but praise God, that inner man is what's saved. And if that inner man is full of God, that inner man is looking for the favor of God to give God glory. Praise God, God will touch our inner man and control us even on the outside. We was listening to radio and I've heard three different preachers talking about controlling our anger. Amen. It must be needful that we control our anger, we control our flesh, get hold of who we are. Amen. And the only way we can do that, praise God, is the God of heaven coming into us and helping us to do that. That's what He does. That's what He does for me. Starts, that's what He did for me, praise God. He still does every day. He said, preacher, do you get angry? Yeah, I get angry, but I sin not. Amen. I don't let my anger control me. Amen. I turn it over to God because He's the one that owns me. I'm His. I'm not my own. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and I commit myself to Him every morning, every day and say, Lord God, You make me what You want me to be today. Amen. And He takes charge and He begins to do that. He tells us about this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. As He's a-praying, He said, if they sin, talking about the children of Israel, He said, if they sin against Thee, now watch this, for there is no man which sinneth not. You may be here this morning, you think, well, preacher, I'm a good person. I don't commit sin. Well, the Bible says that all men, there's not a man that doesn't sin, that all men sinneth not. No man sinneth not. And though be angry, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves, that means they get a hold of themselves and they begin to think about where they at. They begin to look back and see where they walked out on God. God never left them. He said, if they bethink themselves in the land where they're carried captive and turn and pray unto Thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'd never say that. I'd never admit that. I know you won't. That's why there's no stirring and revival in the land. We can't admit that we mess up, that we commit sin, that we do things that breaks the heart of God. Amen. When we realize who we are. Amen. Then we can begin to pray and see God's face, because our sinfulness takes us into a foreign land, a strange place before God. But if we trust Him and we pray to Him and we ask Him to forgive us our sins, praise God, remember that the wickedness and the sinfulness that's in our life. He said, and if they return to Thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of captivity. Let me ask you, where is your flesh taking you to today? Ask yourself, where has my flesh taken me? How far away from God has my flesh taken me right now? Where am I at in my standing before God this morning? Amen? It's a good question. But God says if we'll return to Him, praise God, we're in a place of captivity in our sin. But He said, if you'll return to me, repent, return to me, praise God. He said, I'll lift you up out of your captivity. He said, I'll set you free. Praise the Lord. He goes on, whether they have carried thee captive and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, and toward the city that which thou hast chosen, toward the house which I have built for thy name. You know what's in the house that He built? Praise God, God Almighty. It's a place of worship. It's a place where they come in contact with the Holy God. And He said, if they'll repent and they'll turn their face toward the house of God, it breaks my heart. I see people that's struggling, that's falling, that's having heartache, that's having troubles in their life, and the first thing they want to do is run away from the house of God. You could be no wronger in your actions than to run away from the God, the only one that can help you. Amen. There's a God of heaven. He said if we'd run to Him, praise God, and just realize that we're just old sinners, that we need help, that He'd save us out of that situation. He'd bring us out if we'd just look and pray to His house. He said, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Watch verse 4. He says, now my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attended unto the prayer that is made in this place. I would say the same thing today. Oh God, please, would your people pray in the house of God. Lord, hear our pleas and answer our prayers. There's a great need today, and the need is to stir it and revival in the hearts and the minds of God's people. Amen. We need to recognize and realize, church, who God is. That there's none other besides Him. He's the greatest thing, praise God, that we have the opportunity to know in our mind and in our hearts. I'm glad my God ain't just a mind God. Amen? Do you hear what I said? I'm glad my God is not just a mind God. You say, well, preacher, what is He? He's a heart God. Amen. He lives inside His people. He indwells us. He leads us by His Spirit. Amen. He said, if you're not led of His Spirit, you're none of His. But I'm glad this morning, praise God, there's something in me that leads me to do right, even when my flesh would do wrong. And that's quite often, amen. Your flesh will mess with you every day, but praise God, I'm glad there's a God of heaven that lives inside us. When we're born again, we've been saved by His marvelous grace. Amen. We've made our call and election sure in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in the one that died on the cross of Calvary, that He died and He bled and He rose again, praise God, that He might raise us up in the newness of life in the Lord. Praise His holy name. Amen. He said, now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy praise, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercy of God, thy servant. He says, God, why don't you just do, Lord, you just go ahead and you just be God. He said, you do those things, praise God, for us that only you can do. You know, we serve a God that can, He's the only one that can do for you and I what we need done. Amen. A lot of us think, well, preacher, I got this, I can do this, I can do that. We can do nothing. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. You say, well, I can. I get up. I do pretty good every day. And I've never been saved, never been born again. And I'm going to say, if it wasn't for the hand of God being on you, you wouldn't get out of the bed in the morning. Amen? If it wasn't for the hand of God being on you, touching you, giving you life, giving you breath, you'd not get out of bed. You'd not make it through the day. But God Almighty in heaven, praise God, because of a prerequisite for revival, a prayer, praise God, God reaches down, He touches even those that are lost and blesses them with the life that they have. And prayer is a channel to petitions. Amen. The things that we desire, the things that we need of God, we can pray and seek His face. And He'll hear, the Bible says He'll hear and answer prayer. Amen. It's a place where we can go, not only a place of pen, a petition, but it's a channel of performance. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I like to perform well for my Lord. Amen. I want to finish my course well. I want to finish this race that I'm running for my Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's foremost on my mind. Amen. I like to be pleasing to people, don't you? I don't want anybody to think bad of me. I don't want anybody to look down upon me, so I'm going to try to do my best to live right before their eyes. But as much as I desire people to not look down on me, praise God, I don't want to break the heart of my God and my Savior. I want to be found pleasing in His eyes. Amen. Therefore, I come with penance. I come with a petition before, Lord, please help me to be that I might perform to Your expectations in this walk called life. Amen. You say, preacher, you're talking about a performance. You're talking about acting. No, I'm talking about living. Amen. For God Almighty. Living for Him. Ourself a living sacrifice for God. Amen. That we set ourselves aside for His glory. That's a prerequisite. Praying will get that done. Amen. So we see Solomon, the person. We see the prerequisite for revival is prayer. And then we see the proof of revival, which is fire. Amen. The proof of revival. When the fire comes down and it consumes the offering, praise God. When we offer ourselves unto the Lord, praise God, the fire comes down, praise the Lord. And it begins to do those things. It begins to cleanse us. That's what fire does, praise God. It cleanses us of all those things that's in our life that's not needed for you and I. A fire has a power, a proof. It's a proof because it begins to cleanse people out. That's why a lot of times when there's a real Holy Ghost revival, you'll see church. You'll see the church begin to come and pray and seek God's faith and seek God's help. Amen. I know during revivals, we want to see souls saved. We want to see a people stirred in our hearts, in our spirit, and we want to see them come and bow before the Lord and ask Him to forgive them their sins and come in their heart and save them by His marvelous grace. We all want to see that, but the true spirit of revival is when people come bowing our face in a personal way. I mean, those born again believers of God get down and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Help me to do more, be more pleasing to You. That's cleansing. That's for performance. That we might finish the race good for the Lord. Amen. The fire that comes down, that burns off the dross. He said he runs the silver and the gold through the fire, praise God, to purify it. What does it do? It melts it down and all the impurities come to the top. Amen. That's what fire of the Word of God, that's what the power of God does in our life, praise God. It burns off the dross. Gets rid of the old junk in our life, praise God, so that we can be pleasing to God. Amen. So we can lift up the name of Jesus, praise God. So it cleanses us, makes us pure. Amen. When you get the cleansing going on, praise God, the comfort comes. Amen. Have you ever noticed, praise God, when you bow on your face before God and you ask God to forgive your sin, come in your heart or to cleanse you, praise God, from all unrighteousness, you plead the blood of Lord Jesus Christ upon your life, and praise God, He begins to cleanse you out, praise God, take all that mess, praise God, put it under the blood, and you come out of there comforted down in your soul. I remember the night I got saved in March 1976. I had a burden of sin on me. I knew I was going to die and go to hell lost without God. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart and He said, you don't have to do that. I come and I died for you. I became your sin for you, praise God. And through me you can live. Amen. I come and I bowed down. I said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Amen. Praise God, God began to do a cleansing work. The fire of God come down to the altar where I was, and He cleansed me with fire, praise God, and He sent the comfort, praise God, down in my heart. Amen. Amen. I was cleansed, I was comforted. I walked back, praise God, I come up through there, and I walked back there, I felt like I was walking that high. Amen, I felt so light and liberated. Amen. Why? Because the comfort of God, the fire is what cleanses, and the fire is what gives the comfort, praise God. But I want to say, not only does it cleanse and comfort, but I want to say, praise God, the fire is contagious. Amen. I said, the fire's contagious. Hey, praise God, when the fire of God falls and it falls on people and they begin to get right and begin to get comfort and they begin to love each other and comfort each other and care for each other, amen, have compassion on one another, praise God, then it's contagious and other folks, praise God, get to crying and weeping and loving on each other, hugging each other's neck and giving glory to God. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when the glory comes down. And revival spreading all around. And we see the power of God begin to move on His people. Amen. We need that in America. Talked to a sister yesterday, Brother Bill's sister. Amen. And she's talking about that tent meeting that's going on over there in Tennessee. Said they just finished up 4 weeks. And said they had said Friday night they had the biggest congregation that had been there. Said the tent was full and running over. And 30 people made a profession of faith. 30 people got saved over there. They're up in the salvation of several hundred people that's been saved in that meeting. Amen. Praise God. What's happening, preacher? Revival. The fire of God's coming down. People's wanting to get close to the fire. Thank God there's heat in the fire. Amen. You know what's wrong? Most people say, "Well, Pastor, I don't want revival." No, because you just like being cold and indifferent. Amen. A church of God, people of God, ought to be cold and indifferent. We ought to be warm. We ought to be warm. We ought to have a warmth in us. Praise God for old sinners and people in the family of God. Amen. So we see the fire as proof of revival, and then we see the price of revival. He said they offered them offerings and they was consumed. Amen. There's some things that'll have to be consumed, praise God, in order for us to have a revival in our hearts. Number one, we're going to have to give some time to be consumed. Amen. I know in the day and hour we live, everybody's busy. Everybody's going different directions, and I know that more than anybody. Praise God, I try to grab a hold of the ends and pull it together, but I know everybody's busy, and we try to work with everybody in a roundabout way. But praise God, in order to have revival in our church, in order to come together as a people, praise God, we've got to take time for God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just really can't make time for... You know, it's amazing we can make time for everything else. Amen. We'll say, well, preacher, I ain't got time for church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. We got time for everything else on those days. Why? You know why? Because now I'm just preaching to me. You know why? Because we take and we factor in time for the events that we want to participate in. Hello? We factor in time. We make time for the things that we want to do. Amen. We make the time. Praise God. We're not, but what happened? We're not willing to sacrifice our time for the Lord. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it just takes too much of my time to do something. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's why when you give it to God, God consumes that. Praise God. Fire comes down and God uses that little aspect of your time. We're going to have Bible school this coming Friday and Saturday. And we've got several folks that have volunteered to help with that. You know what they've done? They've sacrificed themselves. They've sacrificed their time. They said, you know what? I'm going to come and take time. I'm going to be a part of that. You know what's liable to happen down in their souls? They're liable to have a spirit of revival, praise God. The glory will come down and revival will be spread all around because they sacrificed their time. Just a little bit of time. Amen. To do something for the Lord, to do something for somebody else. But it takes a sacrifice of time. Amen. It takes a sacrifice of our talents. Amen. What? You say, well, preacher, I can't do much. Amen. Little as much if God's in it. Yeah, what do you mean? I mean, pray God, if we do it for the glory of God, that He'd get the glory and the praise and the honor out of it. Nothing is too small for God. Amen. Nothing's too small. Praise God, if you just stand at the back and greet folks as they come in and say, welcome to Stony Fort Baptist Church, praise God, it's not a little thing. Amen. If you just see somebody down at the gas station, praise God, and you say, hey, listen, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to invite you to church. That's not a little thing. You say, preacher, I'm not telling you. You've got talent in the Lord, praise God, to be a witness to somebody. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know how to be a witness. Tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. How He saved you by His marvelous grace, praise God. Took you up out of that miry clay, that sinking pit, and put your feet on a solid foundation of Lord Jesus Christ. gave us, put us on that, helping us build on that chief cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise God. So we need their time, we need their talents, we need their tithe. Amen. Giving unto the Lord. Our tithe, our time can be our time, our tithe can be our talent. Our time is not always just money. But everybody knows it takes money to keep going. Amen. And God blesses us and He gives us, praise God. And He said, we're supposed to give back. I had a preacher, heard a preacher the other day. He said, well, we don't need to really emphasize on the tithe. He said, just whatever you want to give. I want to tell you something this morning. If you go by your flesh, you won't give nothing. Amen. He was a preacher. He said, oh, you just give whatever you want to give. If you do that, praise God. God said, He said, I require a tithe, a tenth, praise God. He said, if you'll give me that, He said, I'll bless you. He said, I'll bless you and bless you and bless you way above what you give. I've told you, praise God, you can't outgive God. Amen. We can't, I've tried. You can't outgive Him, praise God. But if we give, praise God, He'll consume that. He'll use it for His glory. Our time and our talent and our tithe, praise God. God will take it and use it. I told the church Wednesday night, Brother Ambrose emailed me and he said, preacher, please be praying. He's got a brother preacher over in India. And over in India, last Wednesday night, there was a group come through and they burned out 20 Christian churches in India in one night. They set them on fire and they burned them to the ground. Then the very next night they said they was, I don't know if it happened or not, but the next night they said they was going to burn, try to hunt and find and burn out 20 more churches, Christian churches in India. The same night they posted from Iraq at the ISIS had taken over and had retaken a city over there that was primary Christian. Said they was going to march on Thursday night, going to march out 200 Christians and execute them. Amen. Over there in that place. But praise God, if we put in the time and we put in our talent and we put in our tithe, we can send the Word of God all over this world. Praise God. You say, preacher, we're just a little bitty people. I know we are, but praise God, we support 20 mission work right now and God blesses His own purpose. He gives and He gives and He gives. And when we give, praise God, He gives tenfold. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying you can't outgive God. Amen. Praise God, He has it all. So we see if He'll consume that we have that we offer to Him. See, we got to offer it to Him unbegrudged. So, Lord, here it is. You've done blessed me, praise God, and I'm just going to give You some back. Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to take it on account, Lord God, because You blessed me so much, and I'm just going to give back. You know what He'll do? He'll say, "Whoa, glory," and He'll just bless you some more. Amen. Listen, some of you young people, some of you young couples, some of you young, and praise God, you just talk to some of these older folks that's been there and done that. They can tell you, praise God, and when you just give the Lord, when you just sacrifice for God, amen, that God will bless you more than you give. Amen, He will. He'll pour out His blessings upon you and I. Now, a lot of folks say, well, preacher, you know, you don't really have to do nothing for God and just believe on Him and He'll just bless you. But He does anyway. He gives us every breath we have. Every breath you take is a gift from God. But boy, when we sacrifice, when we do things for God, that consuming fire of God comes down and He takes that stuff up and He takes it like a sweet savor unto His nostrils and He loves it and He's pleased with it and He blesses us the more. Amen. I would to goodness I could get you to understand that. That God wants it. God is not this great big thing up there that's looking down at us with mean eyes like an old mean grandma, praise God, and got you under her eye and giving you that dirty look just waiting for you to mess up. Mia said the other day, she said, Grandma said, you gave me the look. Amen. That ain't what God does. He's up there. He loves us and He's there to help us and encourage us that we can be an encouragement to one another. Praise God. So we see it as the price of revival is to be consumed. And then we see the purpose of revival. The purpose of revival is to see the glory of God. That God get the glory. So when we get into glory, we get to rejoice in the Lord. When the glory comes down, the Bible said it came down and it filled the house. They said the priest and the Levite couldn't even go into the house to worship, praise God, because it was oozing out everywhere. Amen. I believe they got the can't happen, Brother Chris, while they was out in the field before they ever made it to God. Amen. God showed up. He filled the place and He began to bless them. Amen. Why do we look for the glory? The purpose of revival so that we can reveal the Savior. Amen. Glory will always reveal the Savior. The glory of God will always show us the Lord Jesus Christ and He crucified and risen and sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. Amen. We'll always see when the glory comes down, we'll recognize who the glory giver is. Amen. It's not me. It's not you. It's not something we work up. It's not something we make up. Praise God. It's God Almighty and a crucified Savior that's alive and risen again. He's the Lord of our heart and the Lord of our lives. Amen. The glory of God comes down, it reveals the Savior. Amen. And when the glory of God comes down, when God's glory begins to reveal a loving Savior, praise God, it'll revive the saints. Amen. When we begin to see a loving Savior who cares for us and loves us and has compassion on us, knows the feeling of our infirmities, know what we're up against, and with it, He said, we'll make a way of escape. When we look to Him, when we recognize His glory, it'll revive the saints of God. Amen. You know what we need to do when we get to God gets to bless and get to see, hearing these old songs of Zion? Praise God, we ought to just begin to give God the glory. Amen. It's time God's saints just begin to lift up our hand again. Begin to lift up our head again. Amen. Begin to praise God again down at the house of God because He come to revive us and to bless us and give us from His abundant mercy and grace that we need in the dark hour that we live. Darkness is everywhere, but praise God in the Lord Jesus, there's a marvelous light. Praise God, it'll overcome all the darkness. And when Jesus, the light of God, shows, praise God, darkness has to flee. If there's darkness in your life today, praise God, just begin to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that darkness will go. I remember Miss G said when she was in the hospital one time, said that darkness began to come in that little old hospital room. It began to get darker and darker in there. And praise God, said she said it got so dark, she just shut her eyes. And she said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, praise God, the light come on. Amen. Darkness was gone, praise God. Because we realize that God Almighty is right there. His hand is upon us to help us, to revive us, to stir us. Amen. So we see the revealed Savior. We see the revived saints. Amen. Not only do we see that, but we see a resurrected sinner. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how could a sinner be resurrected? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we're all, Romans said that we've all sinned and come short of God. And Ephesians chapter 2 said that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead in our sinfulness. But praise God, He said, when revival stirs, praise God, it'll resurrect that old sinner. It'll lift them up out of the dead and give them life. Amen. I think there's a whole lot of churches today, praise God, it's just cold and dead. There's no more spirit in them, praise God. We don't want it. You know, if we got happy in the Lord, the Lord showed up, it might take an extra 15 minutes for the preacher to get done preaching, and you know, we'd be late for the steakhouse. Amen. But praise God, when a true spirit of revival comes, when the glory comes down and revival begins to spread, praise God, it don't matter what time the clock says. It just matters what Jesus Christ is doing in our hearts. Amen. Stirring in our souls, stirring us up. Amen. Praise God. When we see those things begin to take place, Solomon said, praise God, he said, Lord, we know that You're real. He began to pray and he began to make supplications before God. He offered a place of worship. God, he said, Lord, and you know what he did? He said, Lord, he said, I know that You can't be contained in a building. Amen. You can't contain God in a box. He's too big for a box. You can't contain Him in this building. He's too big for this building. You can't contain Him in this universe. He's too big for the universe. Amen. He is God this morning. And when revival stirs your soul, glory will come down and we'll recognize how big my God is. Amen. Praise God. And all these little trivial things in our life will be no more. Because God Almighty says, you know what? That's nothing. Paul said, all these things I go through. He said, thrice I was shipwrecked and I was beaten. He said, I was stoned and left for dead. He said, these are just light afflictions. Amen. When we realize, Brother Bill, how big God is, when His glory comes down and revival spread all around, we'll realize how big God is, and all these things is just trivial compared to the holy God we serve, that He's able to do all things. And we're able to do all things in Him. Again, when the glory comes down and revival spread around. Wouldn't you like to see a spirit of revival this morning?